Shesta Shiva, Halal Rabbanim Chashuvim. Many of you know I have an older brother who was a Rosh Yeshiva of a yeshiva called Ashreinim. And whenever he hears his tune, whenever he hears the song Ashreinu being played at any event, and whenever any student from that yeshiva hears the song Ashreinu Matov Chalkenu, Umanoim Goralenu being played at any event, they all begin to go wild. They go crazy. They're playing our tune. They're playing our song. I began thinking about this shmooze a few days ago. Actually, after Shabbos, after we had a beautiful Shabbaton in Rapid Shemesh, I had to walk to get my car after Shabbos. I was walking through the parking lot, and some thoughts were going through my mind. I was hoping to speak about this topic of Ashreinu Matov Chalkenu, and I instantly made up my mind, and I got my car after the big trek through the park. Thank God the rain stopped for a few minutes. I was able to get my car. I get into the car, I turn on the car, and I knew there was nothing else I could talk about. I hear the song on the radio, Ashreinu Matov Chalkenu Anam Gorlena. I said to myself, it has to be. What are the chances? You walk into the car on a Matzah Shabbos, of all things to play, they could play Eliyahu HaNavi, they weren't playing that. David Melech Yisrael, it was Rosh Chodesh, not that. Ashreinu Matov Chalkenu was on the radio. I said to myself, it's a simon from Shemayim. Whether Rashi would agree with me or not, it doesn't really matter. It's just an opener. I would like to begin with this and try to discuss this theme, Bez Hashem, together with you today. If you look in the parasha, we know after Yaakov's incredible dream that Yaakov has, so Yaakov goes immediately to try to find a wife. After all, his parents just said at the end of last week's parasha, go find a wife for yourself. So the Torah says, at the beginning of Parak Chavtes, you saw Yaakov Raglov. Yaakov swiftly, Rashi explains, swiftly goes, and he goes to try to find the wife for himself. And he gets to a well, as we all know, and he encounters some people, some men at the well. And Yaakov turns to them and says the following words, Vayomer lehem Yaakov, Achai, my brothers, me'ayin atem, where are you from? And they respond, we're from Charan. And they ask, do you know my Laban ben Nachor, you know him? We know him. And they say, yeah. Hashalom lo, is everything good with him? Is peace unto him? And they say, yeah, peace is unto him. And here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep. The Mefarshim, the Rishonim, and many Mefarshim comment, this story is very, very strange for the Torah to describe. No one had been missing anything, and the Torah just said, Yaakov went and found, and he met up to Laban, he made it to Charan, and he found Laban, and he found Rachel, and he found Leah, and we all know the rest of the story. Why does the Torah spend so much time on this seemingly unusual story at the beginning, on Yaakov's way to go find his wife? The Radak on this pasuk has the following beautiful insight. Says the Radak, why does Yaakov begin to call them Achai, my brothers? They're not his brother. You know, there's like a slang that many of us know. Hey, brother. What's up, brother? What's going on, brother? What's going down, brother? Or in this country, maybe you'll say, Achi, my brother. But these aren't Yaakov's brothers. They're not Jews. Why is Yaakov beginning and opening up with Achai, my brothers? It says the Radak, Yomar Adam la'ohavav o l'shchenav Achai. A person says to someone he loves, or someone he meets up with, my brother, Aval pisha eno karov, even though he's not your relative. Or Aval pisha lo yado, I don't know who he is. V'atam, k'dei li'kanes imo ba'ava v'reyes v'dir v'shalom. To enter into a conversation with the next person, with love, with friendship, with peace. Mikan amru, from here we learn, lo'olam te daito sh'adam u'reves ma'briyos. It's always important for a person to be Murav, pleasant with others. The Koilem Achim Vereim, the Yaktim B'Sholom HaKol. Says the Radak, Yaakov was teaching us a lesson of how to interact with people. With a certain sense of friendship, a connection, a bond, creating bonds with people. Yaakov began this trend at the well after he began to go out into the world. But Yaakov developed something much greater, much more powerful, much more awesome than just a simple encounter with a few wellers that were going to the well. There's a famous comment of Chazal. It's a Gemara Maseches Pesachim on a pasuk in the sixth parasha. The pasuk says in the sixth parasha, right after Yaakov has his dream, Yaakov gives a name to the place. Vayikra es shem ha-makom ahu Beis El. Yaakov calls the place Beis El. V'ulam luz shem el rishona. Yaakov calls it a bayis, Beis El. Says the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, the following famous Gemara, may not be famous to you yet, but it should be famous to you, and it will be famous to you after we read the Gemara together. The Gemara says as follows. Yaakov was different than his previous avos, than Yitzhak and than Avraham. Lo ka Avraham shekasav bohar. Yaakov was not like Avraham, who by whom it was written har, mountain. Shenemar asher yamir hayom bahar Hashem yiraeh. Velo ki Yitzchak shekasav bo sadeh. Nor was Avraham like Yitzchak, about whom it says Yitzchak went out. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. Ela ki Yaakov. Rather like Yaakov, Shekaro Bites, who called his encounter, his relationship with God, his experience, his avodas Hashem, a bias. As it says, Vayikra Hashem Maku Beis El. Yaakov called that place Beis El. And the question, the obvious question, which everyone tries to figure out is, what is the difference between a har, a mountain, a sada, a field, and a bias? And why are we praising Yaakov in a unique way that we don't praise Abraham and Yitzchak even? Yaakov's in a league of his own, because Yaakov is about bias. What exactly is this house which the Chazal are talking about when they give this extra credit to Yaakov over the other avos? Perhaps the following suggestion. There's a beautiful Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Ramban notices something very, very interesting. If we think about it, we know Adam Avinu was the most unbelievable Makar in the entire world. The Torah says Adam went out, Vayikra b'shem Hashem, and he called out, there's one God. We know Adam was busy taking care of Kiruv in an unusual proportion. By Adam's son as well, Yitzchak, the Torah also says Vayikra b'shem Hashem. In last week's parasha, Parashat Todos, it says Yitzchak also called out in the name of Hashem. The Ramban notices, however, that by Yaakov Avinu, never does the Torah say Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Why not? But Yaakov didn't believe in spreading Yiddishkeit. Yaakov didn't believe in spreading Torah Judaism. Says the Ramban, an amazing thing. Listen to this. Ramban is a parashat Lech Lecha. V'lo nemar b'Yaakov came, it did not say that Yaakov called out b'shem Hashem. Yibnei sheholik banim rabim kulam ode Hashem. Because Yaakov created a family, a bias of everybody that was serving God. B'hayis alo kihila gedola. And he had a great congregation, Nikres Adas Yisrael, that was called Adas Yisrael, the nation of the Jews. The Nisparsama Yamuna Bahem, the Noda L'cholam. Yaakov didn't need to go spread. Yaakov didn't have to go scream out, Shem Hashem! Because when you look at Yaakov's home, when you look at Yaakov's family, when Yaakov's children and grandchildren walked in the street, it was clear on everyone's face that there is a God. It wasn't necessary to go scream and yell, Shem Hashem, because Yaakov, the choicest of the Avos, created Klal Yisrael. Yaakov is the father, the Bechir Avos, who's responsible for creating Beis Yisrael. That's why we're called Am Yisrael. Yaakov's family, Yaakov developed something called a bias. It wasn't a sadeh, a private experience. It wasn't even a har like Avraham. It was a bias. There's a Jewish nation, it's a Jewish family. There's something special called Klal Yisrael, which Yaakov is responsible for creating, and therefore we didn't have to call out B'Shem Hashem, because the house itself called out B'Shem Hashem. My father, Shlita, has an expression which he says to his Baal Batim often. I don't think they like it so much, and I'm pretty sure that none of them ever actually do it. But the expression he likes to say is, pinch yourself. Don't try this at home or here. Pinch yourself. What's the expression? The expression is, think for a second how lucky and how much an incredible zechus it is to be part of Klal Yisrael. I'd like to spend the bulk of today's talk to help us understand and appreciate a little bit more what it means to be part of this incredible nation of Klal Yisrael that we were zocheh to be part of. You see, the year in Israel that we're, thank God, pretty well into already, it's already Kimat December, almost Chanukah is around the corner. So we focus on a lot of things. We certainly focus on learning Torah, that's what we do most of our day. Where's Klausman? We get some chesed in also, it's a very important thing to do also. We'll do chesed, please God, we'll do more of it. We work on our midos, on our character, that's also a very, very important thing to do. Another thing which also hopefully happens through osmosis, sometimes we don't necessarily think about so much, is to deepen and enhance our connection with our people. To become more connected, to strengthen the bond that we have and our appreciation of Klal Yisrael. I'd like to spend a few moments with you now just going through some Klal Yisrael moments. Some moments that we've all experienced, some of them I experienced maybe more firsthand than you. I'm sure if we thought in our own minds we could all come up with that, with many, many such Klal Yisrael moments that depict a little bit about who Klal Yisrael is and how special a people we are. I'm going to begin a little bit from June this past year. Now June, to everybody know, everyone, every Jew knows that June this past year was a terribly difficult month for Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, that's when the three young men, Naftali, Gilad, and Ayal, were kidnapped on the way home from Yeshiva. On the way home at a Trempiata, very, very close to here in Gush Etzion. And we all know, unfortunately, the terrible, terrible tragedy that took place, the 18 days that Klal Yisrael was davening and coming together and joining with the families and just uniting arms to try their best, do whatever they could to go, quote-unquote, bring back our boys. Just think about that phrase for a second. I was reminded of it last week when I was in Teaneck for Shabbos, and I saw on very different ones in Teaneck, still up, the signs with the pictures of Gilad, Naftali, and Ayal saying, bring back our boys. And the families didn't want to take them down, even though Rahman al-Tzlan, they didn't make it out of the situation alive. But the signs are still there. Where do you find a nation in the world who says, bring back our boys? I doubt anybody in this room was related to any of those boys. Not a cousin or a third cousin, probably. Bring back our boys? The answer is yeah. That's Klal Yisrael. The tefillah that took place, the unbelievable kabbalos that people took on amongst themselves, the strength that Klal Yisrael rallied together around that people, about those families, our boys. That's Klal Yisrael. That's a Klal Yisrael moment. Then there were more. Unfortunately, this past summer, we all know it was a very, very hard summer for Bill and Eretz Yisrael. My wife runs a camp in the summertime. It usually is located in Reshit, which is very nice accommodations. So we usually spend our summer, my summer home is Reshit. I can say that proudly, happily. My summer home is Reshit. We thought we were going to go to Reshit, but Hamas had other plans, and they kept firing missiles and missiles and missiles, over 3,500 of them, into this country over the course of the summer. The Chesed Hashem, the casualties were few. The Chesed Hashem, the injuries even, as compared to what could have been, were very few. I want to just highlight one thing which touched me very, very deeply during this time. Because my wife's camp was in Chespin for the summer and my sons were still in school in Beit Shemesh, it was quite a challenging carpool situation to go almost 3 hours from Chespin to Beit Shemesh. So I had a lot of travel time. And one day as I was traveling in the car, I turned on the radio. And I was listening a little bit to some of the news that was going on, not on the front lines of Gaza, but amongst the Jewish people that are on the front lines here in Israel proper. I want to share with you what I heard, which made such a deep roshim on me. There was a fellow on the radio that was announcing various different chesed, opportunities that people were trying to do for those people living in the south. Let me give you a few examples. Many weddings had to be canceled this summer. How do you have a wedding if there are missiles flying in Ashdod or Ashkelon? So wedding halls from Yerushalayim called up and said, if you're making a wedding, come to our hall, and you'll make the wedding for free in our hall. I will bus your guests from the south to our wedding hall in Yerushalayim. And bus drivers were offering free of charge I will be happy to bus you and your family, if it means your community, away from the dangerous zones so that you could be in a safe zone for Shabbos. And food gemachs and endless things that made you say, oh my goodness, oh my gosh, look at my people. Look at Klal Yisrael, how lucky I am to be part of such a nation who cares so much about not their brother or their sister, just another Jew, somebody who's part of Klal Yisrael. Obviously, the recent terror attack last Tuesday morning certainly is in everyone's mind, everyone's hearts. It's hard to stop. It's hard to imagine even to think of what took place just a week ago this morning. It's hard to imagine. Unconscionable. I want to share with you a Klal Yisrael moment that I experienced firsthand, and no one in this room was with me when I experienced this. You may have heard about it, but I want to show you the deep impact it had on me. My Rebbe, one of my Rebbeim, is with Meir Twersky, Shvita, the only brother of Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yikom Damo, who was murdered last Tuesday morning. As soon as I found out, obviously, my Rebbe's brother, an extremely painful thing, any Jew, certainly a Jew of that caliber, a tzaddik like that, so hard to even comprehend. I went to Menachem Avil last Thursday, before the yeshiva went together, to daven Yom Kippur Katan at Shul. I got to the yeshiva house, and I was sitting there. I was able to get very, very close to Ratursky. I was talking to Ratursky, sitting literally an inch away from him. That's how I could hear him. He was talking very softly. And all of a sudden, a man with a black hat walks in. Not, if you'd say a man with a black hat walks in, he'd say everyone there was playing a black hat. He's wearing a black baseball cap. And he turns to the Avelim, Twersky and his nephews that were sitting there together, and said, you don't know who I am. So they said, please identify yourself, who are you? So he said, my name is, I forgot his first name, Lemkus. I'm the father of Dalia Lemkus, who was stabbed last week in Gush Etzion. I came here to give you chizuk, to give you inspiration, to try to give you some strength. I never saw my Rebbe cry before in my life. In fact, my wife and I were discussing on the way to the Shiva. We were discussing with each other, how would Rebbe look? Would he be composed? I thought maybe he'd be broken. My wife said, he's such an unbelievable person. If she'll be composed, then my wife is always right. He was very composed at the Shiva. And as soon as Mr. Lemkus came in and said what he said, Ratursky started to cry, which had a ripple effect on his nephews and everyone sitting in the room. He said, I just got up from Shiva on Monday and I came to take it upon myself to go ahead and give chizuk to other Jews that are going through a terrible situation like I went through. At which point Ratursky turned to him and said, Hamakom yinachem eschem b'soch shari l'tzion b'yushalayim. After all, the man was still in Shloshim. And the halacha is that when a person is still in Shloshim, you say Hamakom. To which the man, Mr. Lemke, stops with Twersky midway and says, don't give me Nechama over here. I didn't come to get Nechama. I came to give Nechama. I came to mechazik you. I came to strengthen you. And I said to myself, oh my goodness, Miki Amcha Yisrael. Who's like Klal Yisrael? Who's like our people? This man got up from Shiva on Monday morning. This was Thursday morning last week. And he makes it his business to go to the Shiva and then to Yom Kippur Katan, I daven right next to him. I felt like it was such a schus, Hashem put me right next to him, to daven next to this man. When he was davening for Klal Yisrael on Yom Kippur Katan, Miki Amcha Yisrael. I'm sure everyone saw the letter that was sent out this past Friday. I'm going to read you part of the letter. The letter that was sent out by the widows of the four Kedoshim that were killed in this terror attack. Everyone probably saw the letter. I want to read it to you for a second just to highlight just this point. With tears and hearts broken over the blood that has been spilled, the blood of our martyred and sanctified husbands, the heads of our homes, Hashem Yikom Damo, we turn to our brothers and sisters, everyone from the house of Israel. Now, what would you ask them? What would you think they're asking for? If they were regular people, not unbelievable wives of Kedoshim, they would ask maybe for help, support. We have children, grandchildren, chizuk. We're not asking for that. We should take upon ourselves to increase love and brotherliness between man and his fellow man, between our various communities and among different sectors of society. Our request is, what's their one request? to take upon ourselves when we welcome Shabbos, to express love for each other, a day which we refrain from speaking divisively or criticizing others. Who thinks like that? Who talks like that? Who has the strength and the koach to write a letter like that just days after their husbands are murdered in cold blood? And the answer is only one thing. Miki Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Baharetz. There's nobody like Klal Yisrael. The truth is, we could all say more stories. I'm not here to say so many more stories. I'll say a few more anecdotes just to highlight the point. All four of the anecdotes that I mentioned until now were all during times of Tzara. And unfortunately, as we know, during most of the times of Tzara is when Klal Yisrael does rally together. During difficult times. But the MS is, the truth is, we're one people, we're one strong people, and it's incumbent upon us to recognize that, not only in difficult times, but in strong times, in good times. And I want to share with you just a couple of Klal Yisrael moments very quickly in good times. A Klal Yisrael moment in good times that I personally experienced, and I hope many of you did as well, was just 2 years ago in the summertime, was the Siyum HaShas, where many Jews finished Shas, and many others didn't finish Shas, but they came to celebrate. I was privileged personally to be in Bnei HaOmah with around 6,000 Jews celebrating Siyum HaShas. And the emotion in the room was electric. The excitement, the celebration of everyone finishing Shas together. And I'm sure it was even more incredible in MetLife Stadium with 80,000 people, celebrating together the finishing of Shas. It's unbelievable. That was a Klal Yisrael moment. A moment which we shouldn't have to wait 7 years to recover and to have again. I'll tell you a story. Last night I was driving back from the Hess Stadium for Moshe Twersky, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha. I was driving with a friend of mine. His name is Dr. Ido Lavi. He's a wonderful person, a great personality. And he told me the following maisa. He said his son works in the summer in Camp Simcha. Camp Simcha, as many of us know, is a camp which is a few weeks in America for children who, rachmana litzlan, have cancer. And the 2 weeks of this camp is their whole life. It's their whole everything. It's their whole world. And there came time in the preparations, and there were kids from Israel traveling to America as well. And there was one girl who came to the airport. She was all excited to go on the plane. She's ready to go to her Camp Simcha to have her experience. And she's at the airport about to go through security, and she can't find her passport. Her parents are obviously with her, and no one can find her passport. And they tried everything. They tried looking here, looking there. It's nowhere to be found. Nothing to do. Pulling strings. And our passport can't be found. There's no choice. Everyone else boards the plane. They're on the plane sitting. And as many of you know, when it comes to airplanes, the last thing airplanes want to do is wait for anybody. The plane pulled off the gate, pulled away from the gate. And all of a sudden, inside the airport, they were able to find her passport. And they quickly radioed to the plane, to the pilot, and they pulled the plane back to the gate. And the girl came on the airplane with her passport, Baruch Hashem, and the entire plane began to erupt in simcha. The stewardesses were crying. Where does this happen? It doesn't happen on another airline. It happens on El Al. Not that I'm the biggest fan necessarily per se of El Al, but it happens on El Al, and there's Jewish people, passengers on the plane, who care about another Jew and begin to have so much simcha because this Jewish girl who's going through so much difficulty in her life will be able to have that full experience of Camp Simcha that she so much wanted to have over the course of the summer. Another one of the amazing kedoshim that we lost this past Tuesday was Avariah Kapinsky, Hashem Yikom Damo. The brother of Dov Kapinsky, who was a secretary, more than that, office manager, if you will, in Torah Raga for a bunch of years, a wonderful person. His brother and their family lost a daughter, Rachmana Litzlan, 2 years ago, as many of you know. And he was very broken. But his personality was a very, very besimcha person. And he was a Klal Yisrael Jew. As Dov told us in the Shiva, he used to go to every kiddush and set up and clean up. That was who he was, an amazing, amazing person. He tried to think, what can he do for his daughter's memory, to commemorate her memory, what will be his chus? And he decided to think of a gemach. How many gemachs are there in Klal Yisrael? Gemach means a free thing for something, and there's so many gemachs. There's a gemach for everything. So he decided to make a new gemach, a freezer gemach. And he bought a few freezers, and whenever people had simchas and they needed extra freezer space, he would give them freezer space. This past Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, he had to turn 92 people in Harnov down for freezers that they wanted on Rosh Hashanah. He was looking to buy more. He used to bring it by himself on his trolley to their house because he loved Klal Yisrael. All he wanted to do was save Klal Yisrael. Many say that, unfortunately, in this pigua, he was responsible for saving lives, calling people to leave, possibly even holding down terrorists. At the shiva, Dov told us the following vart in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, an amazing vart. The Chafetz Chaim, almost 100 years ago, was challenged by many of the secularists of the time the following question. Chazal say that Klal Yisrael is called Adam. Atem kruim Adam. Ve'en umos olam kruim Adam. And the rest of the world is not called Adam. It's a very, very offensive statement. You're people and we're not people? What are we? So they came to the Chafetz Chaim and said, what should we say back? How should we respond to you? What's the response to that claim? Said the Chafetz Chaim the following. Of course there are human traits that exist by non-Jews. It doesn't mean to say that they're not human beings. But it means the following. The word Adam in Hebrew has no plural. There's no Adamim or Adamot. Adam is singular. Adam is one. What's unique about Klal Yisrael is that we're one. We're one people. We're one nation. That's the answer. That's the MS. That's who we are. We are Adam. We are one person. We are one Am. What does this all mean to us? What it means to us, possibly, is to just take a little time out to think for a few moments, today, maybe even every day. Maybe when we say those words in davening, Ashreinu matov chalkenu, u'manayim goralenu, think about how lucky we are to be a Jew. Andrew, Israeli shlita, who left last night, he likes a song. I'm sure you guys know the song. It is so gishmak to be a Yid. It is so gishmak to be a Yid. That's all the words. It is so gishmak to be a Yid. Next time you sing that song, understand what it means in a deeper way. It is so gishmak to be a Jew. We are so lucky to be part of this nation. It is such a schus to be in Eretz Yisrael now, during this most difficult and challenging time that we're going through. We should pinch ourselves again and just see how lucky we are to be going through and to be with Klal Yisrael during this time. It also calls upon us to remind ourselves not to be small, and not to be little, not to be petty, not to get caught up on little things that divide us as Klal Yisrael, but to focus on so much that unites us. And there's so much that unites us. And to focus as much as we can on that. I want to just close with a Rashi in Parshas Zosa Bracha. Rashi there is describing Yisachar and Zebulun. And Rashi says the following amazing, beautiful thing. And it's this tefillah I'd like to close with. It says Rashi on the words, Amim Har Yikro, the nations are going to call out to that great mountain, to the Makom HaMikdash. Sham Yizbuchu Zilchei Tzedek. Says Rashi the following beautiful thing. Davar Acher. Amim Har Yikro, Aydei Prakmatra Shel Zvulin. Zvulin's a businessman. And during his business, says Rashi, you know what's going to happen? It's going to cause many people to come to his land. And he lives on the border. He lives on the border. Name over him, and the nations of the world are going to say, Holvin in Sta'arnu Adkan, since we bothered ourselves to come here already, Nilech Ad Yerushalayim. Let's go to Yerushalayim. V'nir emayir asa shalom azu. Let's go see what's so special about the Jewish people. And what are they going to find? Umama asa. And what do they see? V'im ro'im kol Yisrael ovdim le'lo ka'echad. They find the entire Jewish people serving one Hashem. V'ochlim ma'achal echad. Eating one food. You don't have it by other nations of the world. They're going to say, wow, what a people. What a Klal Yisrael. And that's going to cause them to be mizgayrim. It's going to cause them to say, you know what? I want to be part of that nation. As it says in the Pasuk, Sham Yizbuchu Zivchei Tzedek. My tefillah, our tefillah is that we should be zocha to appreciate and understand that we are one Adam, that we're all Achim, that we're brothers and sisters, one family, we're Beis Yisrael. We have an amazing legacy that Yaakov Avinu started for us and created that bias. We should be zoche to walk around proudly and happily as Jews and spread an amazing Kiddush Hashem in the world, a Kiddush Hashem that will make Hashem proud, make us all proud to be Jews.